All right. Well, so glad y'all came out to worship with us this morning. Is everybody feeling good? It's springtime in January. I'm pumped. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't need any more winter weather. I think we have it all, right? It's already done? Is it already done? Oh, man, I'll tell you what, all this beautiful weather, and we're going to be moving next Monday, so I hope it stays like this so that we have nice weather to move. Hey, anybody that doesn't have anything to do next Monday, come on over to the house, all right? Could sure use a few strong backs. I'll supervise, and you guys can pick them up and tote them away. So, well, welcome, everybody. Is everybody happy this morning? Amen. All right. Man, I'll tell you what. I love our worship set. You know, anyway, we're if you guys came this morning thinking that I was going to continue a new you in 2013, like Ron last week, he was a promo for Oasis. Okay, so Saturday night, so he's continuing that. And if you missed it last night, all you have to do is go on to yourcbcfamily.org and download his podcast for last night. You'll enjoy it. It was the second of a series. But we're going to start a new series this morning. I'll tell you what it's going to be in just a moment. But it's going to be for the next several weeks, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think it will speak to you. I hope it will speak to you in a very powerful way so that we can start 2013 off the right way. Amen? All right, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll go ahead and this will be our text for this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this fantastic weather that you're giving us, Lord. Certainly we lift up those folks that Brother Steve talked about. And God, we just... God, we're just here to open up our hearts and to saturate us with your word and with your Holy Spirit, God, and allow your Spirit to speak to us and speak what you want us to hear and what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we're starting a new series, and I got a true story to tell you, though, first, okay? And you'll see why I'm telling you this later on. But anyway, it's a true story. It actually happened. This was when I was a baby Christian. I just became a Christian. I just became a tractor trailer driver. So I had this job, and I had to go to two places every night. And this was my very first winter. So I didn't know what to expect, and everybody told me, oh, it's so dangerous out there when you're driving a tractor trailer and all this, and I got real scared and everything. So anyway, it was supposed to snow this night. And it hadn't snowed yet. So I take a load from New Stanton into Pittsburgh, okay? And I go inside the building. And remember, now I'm a baby Christian. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what I'm doing. I just know what I hear and stuff like this. So I'm in there, and I'm taking my trailer off and everything, and I see this big flash of light. And I think it's God speaking to me from heaven. It's like, whoa, man, where did that flash of light come from? It's crazy. So all of a sudden, I got this urge that I was going to die that night. I did. I don't know why. I mean, it was a little crazy, and I know that now. Of course, it didn't really happen, right?
Right.
Right. I'm still here to tell you this story. But anyway, so I go into New Stanton. I leave Pittsburgh. I go into New Stanton. I'm coupling up to my other tractor or my other trailer, and I'm ready to go to Meadville. Now, it hasn't snowed yet. And I'm saying, God, you know, I don't know a whole lot here, okay? But I'm going to pray to you, and if tonight's the night, then forgive me for everything that I've done. And I start naming all the stuff, you know. Oh, I was bad, I misbehaved, and all this other stuff, you know. So I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and then I leave. And I start up north, and I go up to Meadville. Anybody been to Meadville? You know, when you cross 80, it's like you just went into another world. okay? It's sunshiny over here, and you cross over Interstate 80, it's like you're in Alaska. Holy cow. So I'm driving, and it started to snow. And it's snowing a lot. And it's starting to get really deep. And so I'm headed up to Meadville, and I'm driving, I'm doing all right. I get up to Meadville. And then, this was a Friday night, Saturday morning, I usually get to take a load back to New Stanton. Now, you tractor-trailer drivers out there know what bobtail is? I'll explain to you a little bit. Bobtail is tractor only. That's when you have the tractor and the thing attached to it, that big long trailer, is no longer there, all right? So I go to Meadville, and something happens that I don't have a load going back. But I had seen some snow plows on the other side. When I was going up, there were some snow plows going back down. So I thought, well, I'm okay to do this. I go up, the trailer's not there. The dispatcher makes a mistake. It's a Saturday morning. I'm not staying in Meadville overnight. He says, your load's not going to be there. You'll have to bobtail. I said, you know it's bad out. He said, well, I can't help that. It's sunshiny here in New Stanton. So, all right, I'll try it. So I start heading back. I'm bobtailing. And I'm driving, I'm real careful, I'm driving. And those snow plows that I saw coming down, they got off an exit. And here I am going this, because bobtailing, you have really essentially no brakes, really. So if you ever see a tractor trailer that doesn't have a trailer on the back of it, stay away from them. Don't intimidate them, because they don't have really a whole lot of braking power, okay? So anyway, I'm coming down, and it's real bouncy. The back end is real bouncy because it's real light. It's like a pickup truck without a load on the back of it. So anyway, I'm coming down, and I hit this bridge. And I'm being real careful. I hit this bridge. It's full of potholes. And when I hit the pothole, my back end goes up in the air and spins me. And I come over, and I smash against the guardrail. And all I'm thinking is, this is it. I'm going to die. I'm happy because I know God. I got Jesus Christ on my, you know, I have him in my heart. I accepted him about a year before this. So I know I'm going to heaven. So I'm ready for this, God. Just go ahead and take me right now. So I bounce off this guardrail. Now remember, I'm on a bridge, okay? So I bounce off this guardrail and it bounces me straight across. And I'm heading straight into like this hillside. You've been to 79, it goes off. And I hit that other guardrail on the other side, and my tractor front wheel jumps up on top of it, and he stops. Let me tell you something. I'm up in the air, and the tractor's teetering, and I'm scared to death, but you know what? I didn't die. I had a little scratch on my thumb, and there was about $800 worth of damage on the tractor. And that was it. Could have been a whole lot worse if that guardrail hadn't been there. If the guardrail hadn't been there on the bridge to deflect me, I'd have been done. I'd have gone over the bridge. If it hadn't been over to the right side, because I was off the bridge at that point, I'd have gone down over the hill and died. Probably died. Or I had some severe aches and pains anyway, right? So the name of our series today and for the next several weeks is guardrails. Guardrails, okay? That's something that you'll always remember, you'll always think about. So we're going to start this new series called Guardrails. The name is something that you won't soon forget. A guardrail is a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. Okay? A guardrail is a system that is designed to keep vehicles from straying into a dangerous or off-limits area. And that's the phrase that I want to key in on this morning. I would like to have a set of guardrails this morning. Pastor Ron and I said, let's put up a set of guardrails right here so that we'll remember it for the rest of the series. And you'll come in and you say, hey, those guardrails are pretty cool. But, you know, I don't think we could find any, huh? So we didn't even look. So if you have a set of guardrails, bring them on in and we'll be glad to put them up here on the platform. But guardrails are something that's invisible, really. right? Do you ever notice, oh, look how nice and shiny those guardrails are. You're driving down the road. No, there's something invisible until you need them, right? Right. So they're all kind of invisible. But we're glad they're there. And unless we need them, we give them very little attention. And we can find them in different locations, like on a bridge to keep us from going off the edge, in the medium from keeping us from coming into oncoming traffic. They're on curves or unexpected changes in the road conditions. Now, guardrails are not constructed on the most dangerous part of the road, okay? You can actually drive where the guardrail is. It's the danger is on the other side of the guardrail, where you don't want to drive. You never see a guardrail. Now, if that guardrail were like on the other side and I'd have gone off the bridge and, oh boy, there's the guardrail, that wouldn't have been a good thing. So you could actually, where that guardrail was, you could actually put your wheels on there and drive on it. It's a pretty decent place, right? So it's not on the most dangerous part. Actually, if the guardrails were not there, you could actually drive on that particular part of the real estate. The real danger lies just beyond the guardrail. And really, no one would argue with a guardrail and where it's located. No one says, why is this guardrail on this bridge? I would like to drive a little closer to the edge. Nobody wants to do that. That's kind of silly. And the idea behind the guardrail is that if you hit it, you will do less damage to your body, and in some cases to the car, than if you'd actually gone over and hit the other side, what's on the other side. If you hit the stuff on the other side, you could do a lot of damage and even die. So family, the whole idea is that it's okay or better to cause a little damage in order to keep you from creating an experiencing a lot of damage. So, the next few weeks, we're going to talk a lot about guardrails, not simply the roadside ones, but in our other areas of our lives. Those guardrails that we need to put up. Because as we work through this series and build a case that Your greatest regrets relationally in your marriage, for instance, the greatest regrets financially in your life, morally, your greatest regrets ethically and maybe professionally, your greatest regret could have or would have been avoided if you would have had a guardrail in place. So, what we want to do is take a few, this common imagery and apply it to several areas of our lives. What I would like to do this next few weeks is establish personal guardrails just for you, okay? Each individual here this morning has a place where they need to put a guardrail. They really do. You need to put a guardrail. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your friendships, whether it's in finances, you need to put that personal guardrail, and it's going to be different for everybody. And I want you to start thinking about that because you're going to want to do that. You're going to want to put that personal thing in an area in your lives. Establish a guardrail that's just for you. A standard of behavior that when you violate it, it bothers your conscience. Okay? Now, your conscience is that megaphone that the Holy Spirit speaks through. Holy Spirit's that still small voice. Well, guess what? Your conscience, it says, hey, you're doing something wrong. You're doing this wrong, dude. Come back. You're going to hit the guardrail. You're going to get hurt. It's going to be painful. Come on back. So when you hit this guardrail, you're going to know, whoa, I can't go any further than this. You don't want to actually hit the guardrail, do you? When you're driving down the road, you really, oh, well, let me bump up against this guardrail. This looks like a lot of fun. No, It keeps you from going to the other side. You want to stay away from the guardrail, but you want to put that guardrail in place so that you don't go to the other side, so that when you do go over the edge just a little bit, when you fall, start to fall asleep a little bit, and you bump it, you know that, uh-oh, there's a problem here. Pastor Ron had great illustration. He was driving back from New Stanton when he worked at night from the same place I worked, and he's running down the highway, and he fell asleep, and he bumped the guardrail, and he messed up the whole side of his car. But on the other side of that guardrail was a telephone pole. If the guardrail hadn't been there, it would have been disastrous. But instead, he just got a couple little scratches on the side of his car. That's what we're talking about. He should have stayed here, but drifted over, and then boom. So we need to put those guardrails up. It's a standard of behavior that when you violate it, it bothers your conscience and it feels like you have actually done something wrong. That's a guardrail. It's an area in your marriage. It's an area in your finances or whatever that when you start to bump up against it, that red flags go off. Because I'm bumping up against something. If I ignore and if I continue to bump up against it, it may lead into an area of trouble that I might not be able to recover from and may regret the rest of my life. Do you get that so far? Do you get it? Say amen or something. Amen. All right, so I can keep on going. Like, for instance, there's things that our culture says and they help us along with this. They're really not guardrails. They're suggestions or whatever. It says, like, if you're watching any football game and there's a beer commercial that comes on, it says, drink responsibly. That's not a bad thing. But what's that mean? What does drink responsibly mean? Yeah. What does it mean? Not bad advice. It's like putting a yellow line on the edge of a bridge. No guardrail, but a little yellow line there. And says, don't cross this line. And if you do, you're just going to fall a couple thousand feet to your death. But just put that line. Drink responsibly. Because when you get to a point of drinking irresponsible, you don't care. Too late. You don't care, right? Well, just have another one. And on the other side of that yellow line is regret. There are all kinds of things that can happen. You can come home and you know what goes on. Some of you do. Some of you have had problems with alcohol. Some of you have problems now. And there's issues associated with that. And we're going to talk about that a little later. Another one's for our young people. It says, and the commercials will say, now, don't have sex until you're ready. When are you ready? Next week? In about an hour? I'll mark it on my calendar. I'm ready. Right? That's crazy. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But that's like painting a yellow line on a dangerous curve. All through the Bible, God sets up barriers and boundaries, guardrails, if you will, for his children. So that when they hit them, the conflict will have less damage than if you go through the barrier and hit what's just on the other side and carry the scars for the rest of your life. Now, to our text. In chapter 5, Paul is speaking to the people who live in an immoral day and an immoral part of the country. There is nothing that's off limits for these people in Ephesus. Nothing. You could do whatever you want to do. That culture was so immoral. You name it, they did it. And Paul was establishing some guardrails. Take a look at verse 15 and 16. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, it's basically saying, look carefully then how you walk. That's what it says. All right? A lot of you guys will read the old King James Version and say, dude, what does that mean? And then you'll pass it over like, it must not pertain to me because I don't know what it means. No, that's what it means. It says, look carefully. Now, it brings to mind my backyard, my old house. I don't have a dog, right? Most of you know that I don't have a dog. But my neighbor has four dogs and a cat and a mouse and everything else. So anyway, they come over and do their business every morning. I catch them. I try to scare them away. They don't care. But anyway, they come over and do their business right in my backyard. Well, when we were moving, I had to tell everybody, hey, watch that. Watch where you're walking, because if not, you're going to smell a little bit. And people are going to think, you know, that it's you. Phew, what did you do in your pants, boy? So anyway, so I just try to tell them, you know. So when you walk through my backyard, just be careful where you walk. Paul was saying, as you live your life and as you walk through your relationships, as you deal with money, as you deal with people, as you deal with your marriage or whatever it may be careful how you walk. Watch how you walk. Look where you walk. Be careful. Then he says, in the second part of verse 15, he says, not as fools, or not as the unwise, as the King James Version says. Basically, it says, I could care less. An unwise person, he'll walk and, uh-oh, something stinks. He doesn't care. And you're going to step. When you are unwise in your marriage, when you're unwise in your dealings with whatever it is, you're gonna step in some doo-doo, okay? If you're not watching out, be wise. Be careful. Be very careful. Pay attention. Then it says, but as wise, meaning with your eyes wide open. So when you're walking through my backyard, you're like this. Yeah. I'm not going to step in that stuff. There it is. And you're going to dance around it. You don't want to step in it. And then it says, redeeming your time, which means being very intentional about the way you use your time. That's what it says. Be very intentional about it, the way you use it. It's very important how you spend your time with whatever it is. Be careful. Family, Paul is saying, pay attention to how you walk and pay attention to what's happening to your time. Because here's the reason. It says, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. This was 2,000 years ago, Paul was saying this. He says, guys, listen, church, the days are evil that we live in 2,000 years ago. He says, if you're not careful, your car is going to go and run into the ditch. If you're not careful, there will be a price to pay because the days are evil. Now, here we are, 2013. Are the days evil that we live in? I don't have to spend a whole lot of time telling you this morning that the days we live on in right now are very, very evil. Can I get one amen? Amen. All right. Whew. You guys are a hard bunch this morning. You must have stepped on some doo-doo. But anyway, very dangerous times. Financially, some of you are in debt. You can't give, you can't be generous like you'd want to be. You can't live like you want to. Then to top it all off comes the economy, and now you're upside down financially. These are dangerous days that we live in financially. Morally, in the marriage, in your marriage, the way you deal with your children, these are dangerous, dangerous days. The way you deal with temptation. Paul's saying, because we live in this dangerous world, morally, ethically, professionally, financially, marriage is less and less respected. whatever it might be, because we live in dangerous times. We have to be careful how we live and how we walk, right? Verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, and understand what the will of the Lord is. He's saying, I want you to face up to and embrace, accept what you know God's plan is for you relating to your money, to your marriage, to your dating relationships, to your friendships, and the way you spend your time. He's saying, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish in all those areas. You know what is on the other side of the guardrail in your marriage, don't you? You know, if you're not walking circumspectly, if you're not being careful and watching, you know what's on the other side of that credit card that you're running up, on that alcohol problem that you have, on that dating relationship that you have, or that girl at the office or the guy at the office that you've been flirting with and you're married. The other side of that is dangerous areas that you shouldn't walk on, that you need to look out for. You got to be careful. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Whatever it is, you know what could happen. What you do is you got to face up to what God's will is for you. And unfortunately, we all try to get a little closer to the yellow line without going over. We try to snug up against it. He says, you have to quit flirting with disaster and face up to what you know in your heart God wants you to do. And then Paul gives a great illustration. He says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein excess is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, don't drink. Don't drink wine. Now, I'm not up here to tell you not to drink wine. He says, don't drink wine that's in excess. It's been my experience that every time alcohol has been involved, it's been negative. Amen? Anybody have a positive experience? Anytime somebody comes to me, they always have something negative to say. They don't say, oh, I was drunk and I was vomiting out of my head last night. And I had an argument with my wife or my husband or my girlfriend. And I did something stupid. I bought some land down in Louisiana. They said it was just a little wet, needs a little drainage. But I paid like $1 million for it. You do stupid stuff when you get to that point, right? Anyway, he's saying, don't be drunk. And for the record, I don't drink, okay? That doesn't mean that I hadn't in the past, but I don't at this point in my life. Now, I've been counseling people for the last 8 years as a pastor, and not one time did I ever hear someone say, we were having so much trouble in our marriage, and then we started to drink. And everything was just wonderful. Or, my son was just running from family and God, and he was just like the prodigal son. And I said, son, maybe we ought to start drinking. And we started to drink, and God just brought us back together. I don't know about you, but I have never heard this. And once alcohol was introduced into our lives, we lived happily ever after. So family, let's be honest. We all know that on the other side of the guardrails is something that no one wants. So let's set up some guardrails that if we have some crashes, we have also some conscience crashes, and we don't destroy our lives. And the first issue Paul uses is alcohol. He says in verse 18 again, he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What he is saying is, Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Okay? That's what that is. Don't get drunk that leads to debauchery. Paul was saying to the church, don't get drunk. Set a personal standard that you will not get drunk, because getting drunk will lead to something you don't want to be part of. So your guardrail is not to get drunk. Family, he is saying, I want you to set a standard of behavior so that if you are ever at a point in your life that you realize that you are giving up control of your life and behavior to alcohol, that it will bother you. It's like hitting a guardrail and not allowing you to get to the other side, because drunkenness leads to debauchery, which means, here's the meaning of debauchery, extreme indulgence that leads to loss of control. That could be alcohol, that could be lust, that could be greed, that could be anger, that could be food, that could be material possessions, it could be anything that you're struggling with right now. Anything that you give control to and say, here's my control, you take it. Could be anything. Anything in your life that leads to a loss of control. God is against that, because on the other side of that is disaster. Paul was saying that any area of your life where you have a tendency to hand control over to somebody or something else, you need a guardrail right there. So for the next few weeks, we are going to talk about setting up some guardrails in different areas of our lives. This morning, as we talked, you may have been thinking of an area in your life where you need a guardrail. And I'm sure everybody has something in mind. I know it. Because when I was doing this, I set up some guardrails. And we'll talk about some of the guardrails that I set up. But I know it. An area where you are dancing on the edge right now on the yellow line. And you need to back up and set a standard that keeps you away from the yellow line. That keeps you away from disaster and regret. Start this week thinking about where you plan to plant your guardrails. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Let's read it again. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He says, watch where you're walking. Don't step in it. Don't step in it. Watch where you're walking. Then he says, don't be like wise or unwise, redeeming the time. Be careful with what you use your time with. You know, yeah, especially the young folks, guys, you know what? Too much of this. Too much spending too much time on the TV and too much time playing games. And some of you adults are the same way. You need to stop it. Watch what you're doing with your time. You need to be using your time more productive towards His kingdom, right? Then don't be unwise and knowing what the will of God is. And don't be drunk with wine. Don't allow anything in your life that's going to have control of you and you lose ultimate control over your life. Would you all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed? We're going to use examples this next several weeks about guardrails and where we should place them. We're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about your finances. Today just happened to be alcohol. Paul, it was just right there, and it was an easy one to just kickstart, because I know that each one of you understand that. You understand the fact that if you cross the line, that there's some bad things that can happen. So that was some great imagery. I want you to be thinking about this week where you're going to set those guardrails up. And if you have a place that you want to set them up right now, you come on down and just lay it at the altar here and say, hey, God, you know what? I need your help. I need your assistance on setting up some guardrails in my life for me. And then, you know what, folks? There's a whole lot of things and issues that you might be dealing with right now. Why don't you come on up? The altar is open. Pastor Ron's going to play a song or a verse of invitation. And while you're here, you know, just lay it out for God. Just say, God, you know me. You know me, and I'm opening my heart to you, and I desire for you to show me this week where I need to place a guardrail in my life. If you've been coming for a while and you want a place that you say, you know what? I like Calvary Baptist Church and I want to be a member here. If you've been doing that and if that's your decision, why don't you come on down? Brother Steve will be down here and just say, hey, Brother Steve, my decision is I want to join this church because this is a great family of God and I want to be a part of that as a member. Any other issues? Anything? If you don't belong to the family of God this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord over your life, you come on, tell Steve, say, Steve, what's this all about? I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Will you show me? And he'll get you and direct you with somebody that can show you in the Word of God how Jesus Christ can be in your heart today. So without delay, come on up.
All for love the Father gave. Only love could make a way. All for love the heavens cried. The love was crucified. Oh, how many times have I broken your heart? And still you forgive. If only I ask. And how many times have you heard me pray? Draw near to me. Everything I need is you. My beginning, my forever. Everything I need is you. Is you. Everything I need is you. Beginning my forever. Everything I need is you. It is you. Let me sing all for love. I will join the angel's song. Ever holy is the Lord, King of glory, King of all. How many times have I broken your heart? And still you forgive. If only I ask. How many times have I heard you pray? Draw near to me.
Dear gracious God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes this morning and showing us that we need to be wise and walk out of harm's reach. God, I would just ask that you would just tug on every individual's heart this week and let them know where that guardrail needs to be. God, we love you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.